Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really happy you're with us here this evening, this Sunday, July the 20th, 2025. Summer is here. It's been a very warm and
humid.
And we've had, every day we get a storm, or it seems like we get some rain, which has really kind of been nice.
I've had a river running through my backyard every once in a while with all the rain.
Wow. Yeah, it has been a little much at times. But to me, the rain beats the drought.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes in this area we have droughts. It's terrible. But, you know, things are changing, Ed.
Look at everything that's happening in the United States alone, around the world, with all the flooding and tornadoes and storms and just everywhere.
All over the world.
You know, people wake up.
I hope they do. Friends, you know, this is something that's so important. Jesus is coming.
Yes.
Whether it's in our lifetime or not, he is coming. And these things are there to help us. These things are happening, as it said in Matthew. And it's to wake us up.
Right.
So that we will make a choice, either for God or not. Either we accept God and his son or we don't. And, you know, boy, that's, we started right out of the box, didn't we? Right out of the gate. We just started. We can't help ourselves. Ed and I haven't been in the studio for several weeks because you were visiting your family.
Yes.
And how did that go?
It was nice. It was like a lot of activity, like I needed a vacation to recover from my vacation.
I know that feeling. So, yeah, you did some kayaking, I think.
Kayaking, biking, hiking, pickleball, you know, the whole nine yards.
I've never done pickleball. I've played racquetball, but not pickleball. So I think that, is that the old man's racquetball?
Yes, those old people. It will put you to shame, I'll tell you.
Yeah, so, well, but again, we want to welcome you here. Ed, tell us a little bit about this ministry.
We're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. Stop by and visit us. Just make sure we're here. We have services on Wednesday evening for a prayer / Bible study time at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is available via Zoom if you're interested. And we have our church service on the Sabbath, which is the seventh day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not be confused about what the Bible says. It's the seventh day of the week. And we have a Bible study, which we call Sabbath School, at 9:30 Eastern Time, which is live streamed on our website. And we also Zoom that. And then we have our worship service at 11, which is live streamed as well.
Yeah, and we would love for you to join us. If you want the links to those, Ed, how do people reach you?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And if you can't remember our names, a general email can go to office@prophecyhope.com. Just give us a couple of days to check it. We don't always get to the emails right away. But I answer every email I get. I don't put that off. And it can be difficult sometimes. So just give me a little time. Most people are very patient with that. Also, if you would like a copy of the Bible, we give out Bibles, don't we, Ed?
Yes.
And why do we do that?
Because if you want to know what the truth is, don't listen to us. Don't listen to your preacher or your church or some guy on YouTube. Read the Bible.
It's so true. Boy, there's so many videos that are so misleading. And one of the things, I had a friend send me a video, and they said, here, I want you to see what this guy has to say. And I said, it was only about 8 minutes long. And I said, you know the problem with that video? And he said, what? I said, there was a lot of commentary, but he didn't quote one Bible verse. Yeah. That's the problem.
It's all about man's opinion.
Yes. So on this program, I don't know if you've noticed, but we look at abundant scriptures. We're always in the Bible. And Ed, I thank you for helping me. You've taught me a lot about that. Most of the times, if you've ever tuned into Sabbath School or streamed, whenever there's a question asked during Sabbath School, Ed will say, well, let's see what the Bible says. Let's see what the Bible says.
What else matters? If you really are searching for truth, if you really want a relationship with God and His Son, the Bible's the way to find out about how to do that.
Yes, it surely is. That's the only way. It really is. And two, we want to take just a moment to, we're so grateful to Ray Powers for giving us this platform to do this each and every week. And it's uncensored. And not that we say anything that's bad, but people like to censor religious speak sometimes.
Well, no, just like politics, religion can create a lot of animosity, a lot of conflict between people.
Sure.
And we are just simply trying to teach people what the Bible actually says.
Absolutely. And we're just grateful to be able to be here each week. And we want to encourage you that when we're doing this study, this is why we tell you we give Bibles to people. When we're doing this study, open God's Word, whether it's on a phone app or a computer or whatever it is, and read along with us. Because from time to time, I've read a passage sometimes and I've accidentally skipped a word and it changes the whole meaning of a text.
Right.
You had me read something a couple of weeks ago in Sabbath school and I didn't end it the way it was supposed to end and it changed the whole meaning.
Right.
So words mean things. Mm-hmm. So follow along because we're going to make mistakes.
Sometimes we're used to hearing what the church or the pastor teaches, and when we read that scripture, we have that in our mind, and we don't see the words on the page, or we misquote what the words actually say on the page.
One last thing I want to say about that very thing is we recently did a program on the New Jerusalem, and you took us through a study of just what the Bible says without any commentary, without leading people into a thought process. And I had somebody contact me regarding that program. I forgot to tell you.
Okay.
And they said, how did I read that so many times and never see what it said?
Right.
How did I do that? And my reply was, I've done the same thing. I did that with the Sabbath all of my life.
Right.
And with that text as well, with the text about the New Jerusalem. I just believed what my church taught me even after I left that church for many years. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. And it's easy to say, well, I'm comfortable here. I want to stay in that belief structure. But that can be a dangerous thing. We just have to follow the Word of God. So we're really... it's always exciting to open God's Word. So before we do, if there's no, is there any other business we need to take care of?
Our series,
Bible series, that's coming up
6 weeks.
Yeah, from now. That's right. It's going to be September the 1st, and that will be live streamed. We're going to be talking about Daniel and Revelation, putting those pieces together,
seeing the puzzle.
That's right.
Understanding Daniel and Revelation.
Amen. And we're going to, and we've done this before, I realize, but we're going to be talking about also what happens when we die. We're going to talk about the commandments as well, which this is one of the things we've been doing the last couple of weeks on this program. So we're going to pick up where we left off, hopefully, a couple of weeks ago, because we couldn't get in the studio together this past week. Part of that was my fault. So would you have a prayer for us?
All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word, the Bible, to read the words on the page, to understand what it talks about in terms of your commandments written in our hearts, and about prophecy and revelation. Father, as we read these things, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand them and the ability to apply them to our lives. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, we had talked the last couple of programs that we did when we were in the studio were about the Ten Commandments, and we looked at them in the New Testament. And we took one program and talked about the first four commandments, which are really about serving God and doing His will, and then the last six commandments, which are about how we treat humanity.
Right.
And remember, what were the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave?
Well, the first one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself.
So we see that's really summing up the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And so we were going to pick up at a place here in Revelation.
Well, the reason we even went to the Ten Commandments was what we read in Revelation 22.
Yeah, what was that?
Let's read verses 12 through 17.
Okay. Are you going to read or you want
me to? Yeah, let me read that. Please. This is the Modern King James. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give each according as his work is." So how we live our life is going to determine what our reward is. Mm-hmm. "I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and that they may enter by the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to you over the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one hearing say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. And he willing, let him take of the water of life freely." The Spirit and the bride, Jesus Christ and his bride, the New Jerusalem, are saying, "Come." Anyone who's thirsting after righteousness.
Okay, so this is what got us to looking at the commandments.
Yes.
Because so many people are taught that they're no longer valid or we don't have to keep them. But we've proven over and over again that the Ten Commandments are still in place. But it's not...
Well, just look at the words we just read.
Right. It's very clear, isn't it?
The sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, idolaters, people who love a lie, that's all against the commandments of God.
Every one of them. And so now in the Ten Commandments, when we study this, when we look back at the Old Testament, they were in a place called the Most Holy Place. Inside, they were put inside the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So where are those commandments supposed to be now?
Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 8 and...
Hebrews 8, okay.
Let's...
Where do you want to begin?
Maybe read the whole chapter. It's
okay.
Only 13 verses.
Yeah, sure.
You want to read that?
Yeah, I'll try to read that. Let me open this. Instead of reading it in the Bible, I can read a little easier sometimes if I pull it up on my phone. The lighting's a little... We have good lighting in here, but I'm just going to do it this way. Hebrews chapter 8, and just the whole chapter. Here we go. And I'm reading from the New King James Bible.
And this high priest that's being talked about in verse 1 is Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's important to know, isn't it? So it says here in verse 1, "Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, 'See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain.' But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he also is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be mercy to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away.
All right.
There's a lot here.
So what is that first covenant that he's talking about?
I think this first covenant was when he had the commandments written in stone.
Remember when the children came out of Israel, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. God met with them on Mount Sinai, mm-hmm. and he spoke the Ten Commandments to them. And the covenant was made with God saying, the people said, whatever you command us to do, we will do it.
That's right.
That's the first covenant. But the problem we find in Hebrews 8 with the first covenant is that the people didn't continue in that covenant. And we find in other places, because of the weakness of the flesh, they were unable to keep the covenant of God.
So what I hear you saying is there was nothing wrong with the covenant.
Nothing wrong with the law of God.
Okay. So we need to establish that first.
Yes.
Because that law still stands today, as we've discussed last few weeks.
The problem was with the people being unable to keep the commandments of God because of the weakness of the flesh.
Right.
And we find that in Romans 8, the first four verses.
And sometimes it's not just that they're unable to. Some people just don't want to.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, there are certain things that I think you're able to not do.
Remember, there is a war going on.
Absolutely.
Between God and the Son and the devil, Satan and his angels. And, of course, they're trying to disrupt God's government, his authority, his way of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so he's going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour, is what Peter tells us.
Yes. In fact, I just thought, just for the sake of the listener, where you can find what Ed was talking about is in Exodus chapter 19.
Yes.
And I'm just going to read through a few verses
sure.
here. This is from the American Standard Version. This is Exodus 19, 7 through 9. And Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which Jehovah had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Jehovah hath spoken we will do. There it is.
Mm-hmm.
They agreed to this contract. And Moses reported the words of the people unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and may also believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto Jehovah. So there it is. It was a really, at that point, it was a verbal contract,
right.
wasn't it? And really, if you're a man of your word, that should be enough.
Mm-hmm.
It should be. So I just wanted to share that so that people can look that up.
Well, let's go to Romans 8 real quick.
Okay.
And I want to read verses 1 through 4. This is how the law of God's put into our hearts. It's through his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember in Romans 7, Paul's real about life. He understands the difficulty of knowing that the law is good, holy, and righteous, and he calls it spiritual. But he finds that there's this law of sin within him that makes him do the things he doesn't want to do and not do the things that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is his solution, and this is the gospel. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus tells us that his Father dwells in him, the Spirit of life. So the law of God, the Ten Commandments, in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. That law that's we naturally have in us because of the sinful place we live,
right.
that makes it difficult to follow God and his Son.
We inherited that.
Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, again, you know, the weakness of the flesh is the problem, not the law. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. How did he condemn sin in the flesh? He was obedient to his Father. He kept his commandments. So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Remember, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So I want to go to Ezekiel chapter 36.
Okay.
And I want to read verses 25 through 27.
All right.
It says this. This is Jehovah, God, speaking, the Father and God of Jesus Christ. And I will sprinkle clean waters on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Mm. So God has put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, but we know we receive the Spirit of His Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so that's how we receive the Spirit of God.
And this is how we are able to overcome.
Yes. And He enables us. He empowers us.
And that's part of the new heart. In other words, we want to do these things.
This is capable. The second half of the gospel that no one seems to talk about today.
It's so strange, isn't it? Everybody, and even including me growing up, Ed, all the emphasis was put on, well, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. But you mentioned earlier that you had shared something with somebody in Romans chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share that text?
Sure. This is when we were talking before,
before we turned the mics on here.
Yeah. So let's go to Romans chapter 5.
Okay.
I want to read verses 6 through 10.
Romans 5, 6 through 10.
And this is the Modern King James Version. For we yet, being without strength to be obedient to God, keeping His commandments, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commends His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what is sin? Disobedience to God's law, not keeping His commandments.
Right.
Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him, through Christ. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The death of Christ takes away that enmity between God and us, because when we were sinners, that keeps God from us. It separates us from God. So Christ's death on the cross, His blood shed on Calvary, covers my sins, forgives me of my sins. So now I can have this relationship with God.
It justifies us.
Yes.
But it doesn't justify us. It doesn't justify us sinning.
No. It makes us righteous so we can be in this relationship with God.
Right.
But now what? I still have this life to live. The devil's still going around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. So now that's why he says, having been reconciled through His death, we shall be saved by His life, the life that He wants to live within us, the life that empowers us to experience change in our hearts and minds, to be a new creation, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory.
So this, when it says saved by His life, it's talking about the life that He is living now.
That He wants to live within you and I.
And this is part of what we were talking about in Hebrews 8 about this high priest.
Yeah.
An earthly priest, he would make a sacrifice for you with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
But our heavenly high priest, Jesus, our heavenly high priest, Jesus, gave His life. Instead of an animal's life, He gave His life. So now, our heavenly high priest, He has experienced what we do, so He can dwell within us.
Right. If you read Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, those chapters that talks about this, it's really beautiful.
Mm.
A lot of detail about that.
We can take time to do that if you want to do that.
I didn't think about it, but I guess we could.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot still to unpack here in Hebrews 8. And I think that it's important that this is pointing to the shadow or the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle.
Yeah, it represented the plan of salvation that would take place not on earth, but in heaven, where the temple of God is the original temple.
Right.
The sanctuary on the earth was a pattern of the heavenly one. And so were all these ceremonies or the services, a pattern of what was to come. So just as Adam and Eve were experienced the gospel when God created them skins of animals, mm-hmm. it started that salvation process through representing what Christ would eventually come to do, to die and shed his blood on the cross. So that started in the Garden of Eden. And it continued, not that the blood of animals could save you, but it pointed to what would save you, which was the Son of God coming down on this earth and to give his life. And so it was the faith through these, the living example of the gospel being preached through these services,
yes.
the faith in that, that would save them. First, by faith that we're saved. No different in the Old Testament versus during the life that we live now.
So this plan of salvation was pointed out to Adam and Eve. It was made clear that there was a way out.
Yeah.
And that way out was through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And they,
the seed of the woman.
The seed. And so, friends, just in case some of you are tuning in and maybe you've never heard these things before, if you've been here for a while, you've heard us talk about it. But just for reference, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, you'll find that God made tunics of skin for Adam and Eve, and that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There, the tunics represent the righteousness.
Genesis 3.
What did I say?
Revelation.
Oops.
Wrong end of the book.
Yeah, I was in the wrong end of the Bible. Genesis, sorry, friends, Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. I've been working on the Bible series, so I've been saying Revelation a lot in my head. But I apologize for my voice. But these skins represent the righteousness that Christ covers us with.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. So that whole plan was given to so that the people of old, in fact, as we read through, if we read through Hebrews, you'll see that the Bible points back to those people, that they had faith. They knew these things were coming.
You know, it's interesting you said Revelation 3. So let's go there.
Yeah, that is an interesting. I love that text.
So Jesus is talking about the church of Laodicea in verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the last of the seven churches. And this is the time period. These churches represent time period in history. And
yes.
we're living in this last time period of the church of Laodicea. And this is what he has to say. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the head of the creation of God, says these things. This is Jesus speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's pretty graphic.
It is, very.
Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked.
Mm, there it is.
Adam and Eve, after they sinned, realized they were naked.
They sure were.
They tried to fix that with fig leaves, and they were still naked.
And they were really, they were miserable.
Yes.
They were afraid.
Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold purified by fire so that you may be rich, and white clothing so that you may be clothed, so that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be jealous and repent. Turn away from sin. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. We can receive the Spirit of Christ in our hearts mm-hmm. and minds, and we'll dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes the world, overcomes sin, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So just as Jesus came to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh, like we just read in Romans 8, And as Hebrews chapter 2 says, he was made in all ways like his brothers. Mm-hmm. He overcame sin. He was tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. He overcame sin so he can help us. He can rescue us in our time of need. Amen. To overcome sin in our lives.
So I want to point back to something else. You know, when we couple all these scriptures, Genesis and Revelation and the rest of the Bible, that we're made in the image of God.
Yes.
Now, as men, we like to try to make God in our image and conform to what we want to do.
Right.
But God says, no, you were made in my image. Here are my commandments. Keep them, and you can live forever. It's just, really, it's basically that simple. You keep the commandments, you believe in my Son.
So this white clothing, this righteousness of Christ that is offered to us that we can be clothed with to cover our sins and to heal us, basically, from sin.
Which goes along with being made in the image of God, because Psalm 104, in verse 1, it says, excuse me, friends, bless Jehovah, O my soul. O Jehovah, my God, you are very great. You are clothed, this is talking about God, this is talking about Jehovah or Yahweh, you are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're made in the image of God. Adam and Eve were righteous, so they must have been covered with light as with a garment if they were made in the image
righteous.
Of God.
They were created righteous. And so when they sinned, because they disobeyed God's commandment not to eat of the tree of good and evil. And Satan says, well, surely you won't die.
Mm.
He's saying that same lie today. Oh, I can be disobedient to God and still be okay. I can still go to heaven. That's a lie.
That's the whole reason why we started covering this, is because so many people believe that I can continue in sin. I don't have to worry about the commandments. Jesus has my back, so to speak. I had a friend say that to me years ago. That's why I use that phrase sometimes.
All right.
And I'm thinking, how can the Spirit of Christ dwell in me if I'm living a sinful life?
The evilness of sin is so evil that it required the death of the Son of God in order to have an opportunity for salvation, for eternal life, to restore the creation to the way God initially intended it. And you think it can be overlooked?
It can't. It cannot be overlooked. The problem has to be dealt with.
God did not leave us on to be on our own to deal with this problem. He created a way out, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the plan of salvation, which is being justified by his death, forgiven our sins, to be reconciled to God through his death, so that we can be sanctified or saved by his life. To experience a change in our life, to be a new creation, to be transformed, all these terms that the Bible uses.
Amen. So, I'm sorry, Ed, I received a text I had to reply to while you were talking there. But this whole message, it's not a message of condemnation. It's a message of hope.
Yes.
It's showing you that the pains, literal pains, that God and his Son went through to bring us out of this nature of sin.
You know, this is why we're called prophecies of hope.
Amen.
That first prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, where God promised he would put enmity between Satan and the woman and her seed, which is Christ Jesus, so that we would have the ability to resist the devil and to overcome sin in our lives through the Son of God, Jesus Christ.
You see, friends, we need to recognize God doesn't just say, hey, here they are, do them. Here's my commandments, keep them. He doesn't do that to us. He doesn't just leave us without a way to help us overcome.
Yes.
That's the beauty of the gospel.
To be obedient. He wants to put those laws in our hearts and minds. Just like we read in Ezekiel 36. Let me get back there.
Yeah, Ezekiel. What was that? Ezekiel.
He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. Verse 26.
Of what chapter?
36.
Okay.
And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. He will enable you, empower you. Of course, we receive the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ.
Amen. So I don't remember, Ed, if did we look at, there's a text in Jeremiah that also.
31:31, is it?
Is that where that is? I think so. So I'm in 31 here. And in my Bible, it has a heading here. It says a new covenant.
Yeah.
Now remember, I don't want to leave this alone. We've got to keep saying it. There was nothing wrong with the old covenant.
No, it's the weakness of the flesh.
Right.
Our inability as the human race to be obedient to God.
So the new covenant is a better covenant because
Jesus has this experience that we have.
That's
had.
Right.
And he overcame. He was faithful. He put his trust in his Father. He was obedient to him. He came to do the will of his Father. And he was successful in overcoming the temptations of Satan. He was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. So now he has the experience. He can help us overcome sin in our lives.
And what's beautiful is that the patriarchs and prophets of old had this promise. It was mm-hmm. in their future. They were looking for this time.
And they believed in that promise, even though they didn't receive it themselves. They
That's
had
right.
faith that it would come about.
And we must have faith. So here's what it says, pointing to this new covenant. This is Jeremiah 31:31, and I'm going to read several verses. And in fact, I think this is what Hebrews was quoting
yes.
when we read Hebrews 8.
Yes.
It says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, I will remember no more. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts, or Jehovah of hosts, is what it would say in the modern King James, is his name. So this is identifying God, the Father, as the one who established this covenant
yes.
in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And because of sin, he had to make arrangements to deal with the sin, and that's what's happened here. And they were looking forward to this time when, wow, there's going to be a time when we won't have to come to the altar. There will be a time when he's going to put this in our hearts where I can keep these commandments.
You know, you were saying earlier that God doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't just say, are the commandments, do them.
Right.
You know, there's a verse I read this morning. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read verses 11 through 13. 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, this is the modern King James. It says, let him turn aside from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. But the Lord's face is against those who do evil. And who is the one who will harm you if you become imitators of the good?
Hmm.
If you do those good things that God created us to do.
Right.
Keeping the commandments of God.
It says here, the next verse, I think that was verse 13. Is that where you stopped? Verse 14 says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Isn't it true that we are blessed when we...
Keep reading.
Oh,
keep
okay.
Reading.
Okay. It says, let me see, that was verse
14.
16. Okay. Verse 15, this is 1 Peter 3, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God, where? In your hearts, it says. In your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense for everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for evil.
Amen.
So what a beautiful text. You know, it's amazing how often we find Christ in you through the Bible without it saying the words Christ in you.
Right.
Because it's by means of Christ that we can have the Spirit of God dwelling in us.
Yes.
It's just amazing to me. And if we just open our eyes and look at the words, and we see that God didn't just create us and say, like you said, that I said earlier, he doesn't just leave us alone. He's giving us so much. There's no excuse.
Unfortunately, there's so many people that are fighting against this message.
There are.
Either they don't understand Christ in you, the hope of glory, and what it all involves, or they just simply don't want to be obedient to God, and they want to make an excuse, a way out.
We've had people come to the Bible study on Wednesday nights just from the community, and they'll come for a while, and they enjoy it. And when we get to this message of Christ in you, it's almost as if people want to keep living the way they're living rather than overcome and have Christ in you.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who would say, people are going to do what people want to do.
It's true.
It's like, do you not want to keep the commandments of God? And why not? They're for our benefit. They're for our well-being. They're for a better life on this earth, in spite of what's going on this earth.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is we're short-sighted and we think the pleasure now is good. You know, well, I'll just have all the pleasure I can now.
Oh, it's very enticing. The devil is very good at what he does.
And that's true, he is. But I said this not too long ago in a sermon, that my life, I didn't know it when I was living according to day-to-day, living my life the way I wanted to live it.
Mm-hmm.
But my life is so much better now than it was then. And you couldn't have told me that then, but now I understand.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we have these things that we think we need in our lives, mm-hmm. when actually they're harming us. These sins, whatever it may be, whatever it goes against the Word of God and the law of God. And we think that I can't be happy without these things.
Mm-hmm.
But read the Bible. Ask God to send the Spirit of His Son into your hearts. Recognize that what truth is and make a choice.
Yes.
Even if it goes against your emotions, make a choice to be faithful to God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
You know, it makes a huge difference in your life. I mean, my testimony is that my life is much better now than it ever was before. And even in the blessings that God has given me and the joy that I feel, and, you know, I'm happier than I've ever been in my life.
Well, you know, it's not without difficulties either that we experience this Christian walk.
Very true.
Satan will attack you. He's going to attack you more than anybody else.
That's very true. But don't let that deter you. Don't be afraid. I'm sure that, you know, we've talked about the three Hebrews in the past.
Right.
They probably were afraid when Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to throw you into that furnace.
Yeah.
But they went in with confidence.
Right.
And they came out unscathed.
Right.
And now that didn't happen with all of the disciples. Some of the disciples were persecuted and put to death, many of them.
All of them.
Yeah, that's right. All of them were. That's true.
I'm not sure about John the Revelator because they tried to boil him alive in oil, but it didn't work.
Isn't that something? Just like the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
So, and you can have that kind of confidence. You know, we were talking about the faith that we can have, that this is not a message of doom, this is a message of hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to realize that. If we look at the world, as we talked right before we started here, when we opened this program, we were talking at the early part of this program about the world and the things that are happening. If you don't realize that you need something better than that, then maybe our thinking isn't quite right. If you think this world is all there is and this is the only hope we have, that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something better. And God's trying to wake people up to say, look, there's a better way, and my Son is coming soon.
You know, we often talk about Romans 6, where we're talking about baptism, baptized mm-hmm. into the death of Christ, which really is dying to sin,
right,
and being raised into a new life in Christ Jesus, having the Spirit of Christ in us. And it talks about that that happening throughout Romans 6. But at the end of the chapter, verse 23, it says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There is consequences for sin in our lives, not only today, but for eternity.
Sure. And so, again, there's no excuse. And we can make all the excuses we want.
And people do.
And I've done it.
Yeah.
I did it for many years. I made excuses. But, you know, if you just, if something is bothering you and you feel like, well, I know I'm making excuses, give in, pray, and ask God to give you more faith.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Him to help you to overcome whatever it is that's keeping you from accepting Jesus Christ in your life. You know, it's just, I don't know. And He'll work with you. You will see that change. It might not be overnight.
You know, I just kind of came to this thought this one the last few weeks. You know, the Bible talks about God's love of the world, that He gave His only begotten Son.
Mm.
That means God believes in you.
Mm. Well, he knows that He's given us a way to overcome.
He believes enough in the human race that He sent His only begotten Son to die for the human race.
Hmm.
Even knowing that
not everyone's
going to want that or accept that, but knowing that there are some that will.
And it's, you know, it's my personal thought that if God thought that only one person would repent in the whole world, that He would have done it for that one person.
Wow.
I really believe that. Because how many people were on the earth at the time that He made the promise that He was going to send His Son? There were only two people here.
Mm-hmm.
There were only two. So Christ gave His life for those two people and for the rest of the world. It's pretty amazing to me.
You know, Adam and Eve were any worse sinners than you or I.
Right, that's true.
Sin is the same, no matter what you want to call it. Sin is disobedience.
I'm so glad you said that, because I come from a church that teaches that there are sins and then there are gross sins. Well, all sins are gross.
Yeah.
There's no sin. We categorize them as humans.
Right.
And we say, oh, well, this one's worse than that one, or murder's got to be the worst sin.
Make ourselves feel better about the sin in our own lives? I don't know.
Maybe so. Yeah. But it doesn't. Remember, James says that if we break one commandment,
we've broken them all.
We've broken them all. So it's important. Every commandment, every single one, we can't single one out and say this one's more or less important. Remember the first four, the two commandments that Jesus gave. The greatest one, He said, was to love God.
That represents the first four of the Ten Commandments.
Right. And the reason that's the greatest is because if you love God, then the others are just going to come right to you. Mm-hmm. They're just going to fall right in place. Then you're going to love your neighbor if you truly love God. And mm-hmm. that's why Jesus, He can categorize them if He wants to.
You know, sometimes we get irritated with folks around us, whether it's people we know or don't know. And we need to remember that God has given us His mercy and has been patient with us, and we need to do the same with each other.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and it's not easy. I find the longer this world goes on, the more I think, I don't know if I'm becoming just more aware of it or if things are just really getting worse with people and the way that they respond, the way that they act. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of the two.
Right.
Because the world's not going to get any better. The further we get from the Garden of Eden, let's think about it, the more degraded we become as human beings.
Remember that in Genesis, I think it's chapter 6, the world was so bad, sin was so great, that God wanted to destroy the whole world and everyone in it, except there was one man that was faithful. His name was Noah, a man of righteousness, preacher of righteousness. Mm. And he and his family, eight people, were the only ones that were saved on the earth.
Yeah, out of the whole world. And Jesus points to that. Yeah. You know, when he's telling about when he comes again, it's going to be like the days of Noah. That's what we've been studying that in Sabbath school.
Right.
So we have about 5 minutes, Ed, and I don't know if we want to, I mentioned that it might be good to read through Hebrews 8, 9, and 10. We read 8.
Is there anything in Hebrews 8 that you wanted to bring out?
Well, you know, just, I think that, we mentioned it, but recognizing that the whole priesthood, the whole thing in the Old Testament of the sanctuary and the sacrifices and that sanctuary that they took from place to place, all pointed to the literal sanctuary that's in heaven.
Yeah, in verses 4 and 5 of Hebrews 8 says, "For if indeed he was on earth," talking about Jesus, "he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law." The priest in the Old Testament in with the nation of Israel were from the tribe of Levi. Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. So according to the law, if he was on this earth, he couldn't be a priest. And it also goes on in verse 5 to say, "who served the example and shadow of heavenly things." Remember, the sanctuary and its services were a shadow of the things that were to occur in heaven. As Moses warned of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he says, "see that you make it all according to the pattern shown to you in the mountain." So this was a pattern that was, or a shadow of things, or an example of things that were to occur in heaven.
Right.
It was to give you faith that God would eventually send his son.
Yes.
That Christ would die on the cross to cover my sins. And now that he has come and returned to heaven, that now God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father."
And being in heaven, what is Jesus doing for us right now?
He's our high priest.
Yes.
He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. He's our comforter.
Yes. And so that's how we can come to the Father. And so the beauty of this is, and I never realized this in my old church, that there is a sanctuary in heaven.
Not only can we come to the Father, but he can bring the Father to us.
Amen.
He's the mediator. Mediation goes both ways.
Yeah, you know, we had never considered that until a few years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's so true. When you say mediation goes both ways, explain that.
Well, oftentimes we think Christ mediates us to the Father in heaven, that he represents us to the Father in heaven. But Jesus mediates the Father to us. Mm. We see that in John chapter 14.
So, yeah, we do. John, so explain that just for a moment.
Do we have time to go there?
We have a couple of minutes. So that's
all right, John 14.
Yeah. And Jesus, don't feel rushed.
Jesus talks about he's going to send us another comforter, that he'll be with you forever. Jesus had just told his disciples, "I'm going away, and where I'm going, you can't come."
Right.
And he's comforted them by telling these words, "I'm going to give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth. Who's the way, the truth, and life?
Jesus
Christ, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him," they know Jesus, "for he dwells with you," Jesus dwells with them, "and shall be in you," Christ will be in them. And it goes on to say in verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him."
So that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
So not only does Christ, when we pray, he takes that to the Father. He can speak on our behalf. We're told that in Romans 8, that the Spirit knows what we need, the Spirit of Christ, and then he mediates the Father back to us.
Right. In John 17, he's talking about being one, being unified, just as he and his Father are. And he says this is going to happen with I and them, Jesus speaking, "I am in them, you and me talking to the Father dwells in Christ, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me."
You know, it's such a beautiful thing. So again, this is that message of hope.
Yes.
God doesn't leave us. He didn't say, okay, just keep the commandments. Here they are. They're written in these stones. Just do what it says. He says, okay. In the Old Testament, he was saying, I know this is difficult for you, so I'm going to make a better way.
Right. You know, Ephesians talk about the Spirit being a guarantee, a down payment, earnest, a guarantee of that God will keep his promises.
And friends, if a message like this doesn't give you hope, I don't know what to do. You know, we can just share what we can see in the Bible.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. It's just a beautiful thing. You know, maybe next week when we come back, we can pick up here in Hebrews 8 and do 9 and 10.
Sure.
Talk about that a little bit. And maybe even talk about some of the faith that the patriarchs had to have, and because that leads into the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews is just a tremendous book, Ed. It really is. And let's see. There was something else that I wanted to share, but it's escaped me. We were talking about Christ in you. We've talked about the commandments the last couple of weeks. We've established that the commandments are still intact today.
Yes.
Oh, that's what it was. We've got about a minute. So I mentioned a little while ago that in that most holy place, there was a Ark of the Covenant. What do we call that sometimes? What's it shaped like?
A chest.
So explain that. What's the difference between that?
Well, they put the Ten Commandments within the Ark and was covered with the mercy seat. And that's where it was located. So God wants to write his law into our hearts.
Mm.
Our heart is in our chest.
Yes. So it's a beautiful thing to me. When I don't know. When I consider that it was in that ark and he wants to put it in, we are called the temple. We're supposed to be the temple of God.
Yes.
So if he writes it in
dwelling
our
heart, of God through his Spirit.
Yeah. So hopefully some of these dots are connecting with you, friends, and some of this might be new. If you've heard us, we've talked about these things in the past, but it's nice to put them all together. From Genesis to Revelation, we were through the whole Bible today, weren't we?
Yeah.
So it's about time for us to end this program, and so let's have a word of prayer together. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to be here this evening. We're grateful for your word, for giving us understanding, and Father, it's because of what you've done for us that we can have this understanding and sending your Son. And we just ask for your blessing to be upon us until we come together again. Please, Father, open the eyes of people. Help them to want to read your word. Help them to open your word, the Bible, and just read the words on the page. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, I'm really glad you were here this evening. It's good to have you back. I apologize for I don't know what's going on with my voice.
It's called old age.
I am. I had a birthday here just last week. So, yep, it probably is. So, friends, we're really happy you're here this evening. We hope you'll tune in again next Sunday, 7 p.m., right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.